interestingly, if you look at the word, I was looking at Joshua chapter 6 verse 5. You know, Joshua, you know, many times, you know, we share testimonies. When do we share testimonies? When something has happened to all, in our lives, right? Good things have happened to our lives. God has unanswered our prayers. But very interesting here, when I read Joshua chapter 6 verse 5, it says, when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army, the Lord is speaking, right, give a loud shout, then the walls of the city will collapse. They have to shout for joy before the city walls collapse. The Lord did not say, when the city collapses, you need to shout for joy. No, my friend. Even before you receive things in your life, you shout for joy. You acknowledge that this God is a faithful God. Whether I receive or not, He is faithful, and I shout for joy. They shouted with a loud voice, and then the city fell. The city walls fell, my friend. Many times, you know, we wait for something to happen, something positive to happen in our lives. Our prayers are answered. Then we testify, we say, God is good. But in Psalm 100, it's different. You shout for joy before even God would have actually even answered your prayers. Even if it's a wait, God wants you to wait, you shout for joy because He has heard my cry. Even God says no, you say, yes, you have heard my cry because He knows what is best for my life. And I still shout for joy for the Lord, for what He has done. I think that's the kind of joy God wants us to have, my friend. Whether, you know, we are going through a difficult time, right? You're still faithful, but you're going through a difficult time. We need to shout for joy because even in the valley of darkness, the Bible says, Lord, You are still there, right? You are there, and I just praise You because Your presence is there. I'm going through a difficult time. Lord, You're still there. I'm crying, Lord, I thank You because Your word says that even my tears are bottled by You. You remember every tears and You bottle them. And that's the way the writer of this particular psalm is saying that, no, I just shout for joy because God has been so wonderful. You know, sometimes we are like this, right? I'm happy when something happens. I'm happy if God answers. But Psalm 100 is different, my friend. Whether it is an if or a when, it might take a long time, but I just shout for joy because this God knows everything, knows what is best for me, and in His time, in His own way, He will respond accordingly. So let's look at the next, you know, and then it says, right, serve the Lord with gladness. Very interesting in the Hebrew word, worship and service is almost the same word, right? It says, serve the Lord with gladness. There is joy in serving, right? When we serve, are we glad? Are we excited? Let me ask, you know, the worship team, are you excited today? You have to say yes. The tech guys, are you excited today? Wow, he puts two thumbs up. You know, when the word says, you know, when we serve, you know, we are serving God, right? Am I excited? You know, today I'm going to do tech. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to be there and I'm going to do things because, you know, I want to do the best for the Lord Jesus Christ. Or am I coming, you know, just 11th hour, just 5 minutes before the service? And I'm not talking about our people, by the way, right? David says, I'm talking about our people. No. You know, I'm saying, you know, we need to have that kind of excitement, joy in serving. I'm an usher today. Am I smiling? Am I welcoming? You know, today I'm going to welcome people to God's house. What a privilege. I'm going to stand at the door and I'm going to welcome people with smile. God has placed me. It's a wonderful ministry. I'm going to play music. You know, I want to give the best so that everyone can sing aloud, that the spirit of worship will be found. And that's what, you know, the Israelites were. They were so excited. They were energized. You know, what a joy to serve this living God. How do you see your ministry today, my friend? Whatever ministry that you are doing in this church, are you excited? Or are you looking at the bulletin and say, oh, what to do? Today is my turn. You know, oh, I have to rush to church today. Are we excited? If you want to live a life of celebration, God wants us to live a life of celebration. I think we need to be excited in the things, because I don't do for men. I do for the Lord, right? And very interestingly, if you have this fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit is not only love, but it's joy, right? Galatians 5. You have the joy of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You do things because I do for Him. I love Him. Thirdly, right? You sing praises to God. There are 155 passages in the Bible that talks about singing. Sometimes some of you might say, you know, Pastor Vincent, you know, I'm not good in singing, right? I can't sing. I don't have the tone, right? I think the Lord knows all these kind of things, right? And so that's why in Paul, when Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, he writes in Ephesus 5, 18 and 19, he says, make melody in the heart. Even if you have difficulty singing, why don't you sing in the heart, my friend? Make melody in the heart. Just singing praises to God. If you're able to sing, sing and tell Him, Lord, how great You are, how wonderful You are. If you have difficulty to sing, sing in your heart. Make melody. Oh, what a joyful time to be in the Lord's presence. And that is also another sign of the fruit of the Spirit, the joy, right? So if you want to have a life of celebration, shout even before God would answer your prayer. Because you know that He has heard your prayer. It might be a yes, it might be a no, it might be a wait. But God has heard me. And so I shout for joy. And I serve with gladness in everything that I do. What is that? You know, I serve with gladness and singing to the Lord. Secondly, you know, Psalm 100 also says, verse 3, it says, know that the Lord is good, right? It is He who made us and we are His. In other words, we need to live a life knowing God, my friend. It's important for us. Not only a life of celebration, you know, a life of joy, but a life knowing God, acknowledging God, right? Just remembering Him, knowing Him. Firstly, what should I know about Him? First, I think it's about knowing that He is God. That is important. In other words, in the Hebrew text, it means He's the only God. He's my God. He's the true Savior and the Lord of my life. Each and every day, I need to tell myself, you know, I belong to Jesus and He's my God, my Savior. And the only one, Jehovah, is my God. I was reading an article, very interesting. Today, many people are religious. And very interesting, people are religious because you know why? They don't subscribe to any isms, right? They don't say, I'm a Christian or I'm a Muslim or a Hindu or a Taoist. They don't subscribe to any particular religion. But they say they are religious. Today's trend is, if you look at the religious circle, what they do, whatever they like about Christianity, they take. Whatever they like about Hinduism, they will take. About Islam, they will take. And so, I'm a religious person. I don't subscribe to Christianity, but I just like this part of Christianity. I like this part of Islam. I like this part of Taoism, ancestral worship. Just name it. Jainism, everything. And so, I'm religious. But the psalmist says, it's not like that. You need to acknowledge that my God is the only God. Jehovah is my God, is the only one. There's none other. None other. You know, sometimes when your friends talk to you, they will say, you know, oh, you are a Christian? Yes. Oh, I'm not a Christian, but you know, no, all our gods are one. And many times we just keep quiet, right? We don't respond. Because it can be, it will call for a discussion. But then, you know, do we acknowledge God as our only God and the true and the only Savior? Secondly, it says, He made us. I think all of us know He made us. The reason the writer of this particular psalm is saying that it reminds us that he made us, because the Israelites were always thinking, you know, that we are here, it's all because of our experience, our effort, our labor, our talent, our intelligence. And so because of all our effort, all the time that we spend, because of what we have done, we are here, we are on top of the world, and this is who we are. And so God reminds them, it is not you. Yes, Canada is blessed, my friend. It's not because of the social systems that we have. It's not just because of the economics that we have. It's not because it's a financial center that we are blessed. It's all because it is God who has blessed us. And that's what the writer of this particular psalm is saying. Yes, our experiences are good. You know, our efforts are good. Our labor will not go in vain. But it is He who made us, not only created us. You know, you are someone in your career. It's, you know why? It's not because of your experience. It is God, my friend. You are promoted, yes, because of your hard work. At the same time, God had made you find favor in the sight of employers. You are someone, you're somebody. Don't ever think it's because of my effort. Yes, a certain portion could be. But if God's grace was not there, if God's favor was not there, let me tell you, you will be still there. Not going up the career ladder, right? Or wherever you are. And so the writer of this particular psalm is reminding himself and the people, today we are prosperous, it's because of who God is. And we are made by Him. So in other words, our blessings are His. The gifts that we receive are His. The things that we have in our lives are His, my friend. It's because He has given us a job. He has given us good health. He has given us. And He, it is He. And so I think each and every moment, you know, you need to always acknowledge, Lord, it's You who have given me this place to work. This job, this position, this promotion, this blessing, Lord, I don't deserve, but it's all because of You. And then it also says, we are His people. Can you imagine? Actually, in the Hebrew text, it means that we belong to His family, right? We belong to the family of God. You know, every time I see words like this, you know, it's difficult for me because, you know, can you imagine God saying that you belong to Me? You're part of My family, right? You're My son, you're My daughter. You're no more My slave, you're no more My servant, but you're My child. You're, you know, like what we saw last week, the depth of the Father's love, right? He gave the ring, He gave the sandal. You have all the privileges, everything, because you belong to Me. And I think we need to know that, you know, we need to live a life knowing that God is so wonderful. Yes, my friend, sometimes in our Christian life, right, we backslide, we fall away. But let me tell you, God loves us so much. And He says, you know, you belong to Me, come back to Me. Right? Satan will always say, you know, no, you cannot come back. Your life is a mess. You're a failure. You can't. And let me tell you, that's the work of the devil. The Spirit of God wants us to come back because we belong to Him. So always know that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me go into, I'm going to finish the same time it says the sheep of His pasture. It means, you know, that He is the one who protects us. He's the one who guides us. He's the one who actually leads us. And so we belong to Him. And so He leads us. He guides us. And He is our Savior. Lastly, and so I was reading a quote by St. Augustine, right? He says, you are good and all-powerful, caring for each one of us as though there's only one in your care. St. Augustine's mother was a very pious lady, very devoted lady, and she was praying for St. Augustine. She wept for days, months. And God gave her word through a vision. And then when St. Augustine became a child of God, this is what he wrote, right? He said, God cares for me as if there was only one. I was the only child in the house, right? If you're the only child in the house, everything you get, right? every privilege you're entitled to. You get it. And that's the way God sees, as if I'm the only one. He gives everything to me. And that's God's love. I hope my next slides will move. Okay, yes. Then it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. How many of you have gone to Israel? Right? There are 9 gates, because I think what the writer is saying, he's talking about Israel, the old city of Jerusalem. There are 9 gates. This is the way, you know, when you go to Jerusalem, this is how you see a gate, right? It's not the way we look at gates where you open the gate. Right? It's different. There are 9 gates in Jerusalem. And, you know, you enter these gates into Jerusalem. And so, I know it's difficult for you to read, right? Unless you have a 20/20 vision, then probably you still have to strain your eyes to read. And, you know, the top area is the temple area, the altar area. And so people will come to Jerusalem. The easiest way to come to the temple is through the east gate. And if you look at Jesus coming on Palm Sunday, and when Jesus came to Jerusalem, he was always coming through the east gate, right, to Jerusalem. And so he's saying that we need to enter God's gate, right, with thanksgiving. Very interestingly, he's not talking about a particular gate, right? He's talking about gates, plural, 9 gates. So in other words, he's saying, you know, if you look at the 9 gates, the 9 gates have different kinds of meaning. For example, if you look at the sheep gate, where the sheep is brought in to be slaughtered, right? So he's saying, you know, yes, maybe you are coming through the sheep gate, right? An entry gate where you are saying, Lord, you know, I want my sins to be forgiven, right? And so you come, like, as a sinner. If you look at the valley gate, it's a valley gate, is at the bottom, it's called the, like, a hell gate, right? And people, it's a very sorrowful, a sad gate. Even if you are sad, things are not good in your life, my friend, you can still praise God and say, God has been a wonderful refuge and my strength. I've lost a loved one, but I know what's happening. My loved one is with the Lord. I'm sad. I feel lonely, but I still know God is good, because he knows the best for my life. Right? If you look at another gate, it's called the dung gate. Dung gate is where the waste was always thrown. It's good for you to go do a study of all these gates, where the waste was always thrown, right? And sometimes, you know, we see ourselves as a failure, a waste. But let me tell you, but God says, you can still come, right? You can still come. And by what Jesus have done on the cross for us, by forgiving us, my friend. So he's saying, no, enter God's gate, right? You might be suffering, you know, but thank God, because even you're suffering, God is your refuge. You might be a sinner. God says, I'm forgiving you, right? And then if you look at, you know, the fish gate, you might be slow in your evangelism word, but even you come, because the fish gate, that's a place they brought the fish. It was a service to the people, right? We do the work of ministry. Even though, Lord, I'm slacking in my ministry, but God says, you know, still come with a heart full of gratitude. And let me finish with this gate. There are so many. The water gate is not about Nixon, right? Nixon's gate is a different water gate problem, where water was always coming into the city. So, you know, wherever, whatever it's happening in your life, my friend, right? You might be in, maybe you lost a loved one, you're going through difficulties in your life, you're suffering, you know, but always acknowledge that God is in control. I can still worship God, and I can still praise God. Maybe God has not answered my prayers, but I can still come to him and worship him. So enter his gates with thanksgiving, and it says his courts with praise. But one more thing I want to show to, it's called the east gate. If you look at it, the east gate, very interesting, you know, it is shut by, the east gate is a gate where Jesus came, right, on Palm Sunday to Jerusalem. He came to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and other days he came through the east gate. Today, if you go to Jerusalem, it's actually stoned. In other words, you know, they have blocked it by stones, because during the 4th century, the Ottoman Empire, you know, they didn't want Jesus as the Messiah to come back. Because the Bible says in Ezekiel that, you know, as Ezekiel has long prophesied that the King of David, which is the Lord himself, will come. So the Ottoman Empire, what they did, they blocked it. Right? They don't want Jesus to come back. At the same note, what they did, if you look at it, you know, there are cemeteries here. Why? Because a holy man will never walk on a cemetery. They intentionally did all this so that Jesus will not come. But Ezekiel, before the 4th century, before all that, he already prophesied. He said, the gate is to remain shut. It must not be open. No one may enter through it. It is to remain shut because the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered through it, and he will come and enter through that particular gate, my friend. And so I think, what a joy to know, right, that Jesus is coming back, right? And so we need to come back. We need to enter his gates with thanksgiving, and the Lord is faithful in his promises. Lastly, courts with praise. The courts in those days were used for sacrifice, right? Why is the writer talking in a language which might be strange to us, right? Why is he using gates? Because he's telling us, you know, whatever, wherever you are in your life, you can still thank God, right? And just thank God, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Yes, it's difficult, but I still surrender. I still surrender my life to you, God. I want you to be in control. And it says courts. Courts were used. Courts, if you look at the map very carefully, there were different courts, right? And the courts that he's talking about, it was a place for sacrifice. The sheep was brought in. It was slaughtered. The blood was just thrown there. And so it talks about the courts. So I was looking at the particular passage and asking myself, why is he talking about courts and all that? Because when you look at it very carefully, my friend, it talks about a surrendered life. Because, you know, when you worship God, it costs you something. When you want to live a surrendered life, it costs you something. That's why when David says, right, he says, I will not offer burnt sacrifices to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. Coming to church costs you, right? You need to get up. Oh, it's Canada Day. It's barbecue time. You need to get up. You know, it costs your time, right? You want to come. It costs things. And so worship costs, you know, surrendered life costs something. It's not easy to surrender our lives today. Like, for example, I think Romans 12:1 is a very familiar passage. It says, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Eugene Peterson beautifully puts it by saying, in other words, it means take your everyday life, your ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to walk, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. In other words, I surrender every part of my life, and then you will have a joyful life. Even in my eating, I just thank God. It might be the simplest meal, but I just thank God for this. Thank you, Lord, because you have remembered to provide me. In my walking, in my sleeping, Lord, you gave me a good rest, and I thank you for that. You gave all these things to God. I thank you for all the things that you have done. And so it causes something, my friend. To live a surrendered life, it will cost. And that's why the psalmist is saying, you know, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I'll give it joyfully, Lord. I'll live a life joyfully. Like everything I'll do joyfully. It might be the simplest thing, oh Lord, meal that I ever have. I'm full of joy. And so when I surrender every part and aspects of my living, you know, there is joy in my life. Right? And even, you know, Hebrews 13:16 says, and do not forget to do good. In other words, don't do bad. It's not just doing good, but don't do bad, right? To share it with others. With such sacrifices God is pleased. Yes, to do good to someone, right? It's difficult, right? You need to share. some of your blessings, it is to depart from the things that you have. Right? You could have used that money for some other purposes. But when you do that, what's happening, you know? Right? It's a sacrifice. So it involves sacrifice. And so, but when you do that, then God is pleased. So in other words, we are surrendering our life and it's joyful. Let me finish with the last quote. Right? D.L. Moody said, "Let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can." If you want to have a joyful life, my friend, you want to live a life, right, just rejoicing, celebrating, you know, just thinking, you know, yes, God has been so wonderful, and I a victorious life. Let me tell you, like D.L. Moody said, let God have your life. It's not us taking control of our life. Yes, we are in control, but let God direct our path. He can do more with it than you can, my friend. We can do certain things, but if you allow God to take control of your life, to be not only your Savior, but to be your Lord, He can do much more greater things. Let's pray. Always believe that God wants to do much more greater things in our life, my friend, than we can ever think. Many a times I think we are short-sighted like sheep. The sheep in the Bible, you know, when you look at it, it's why? Because they're very short-sighted animals. They can't see far. But God wants to do much more greater thing. He wants to give you the joy. Wants to fill us with the power of the Spirit, with the fruit of the Spirit. That is love, joy, peace. You know, when you say, Lord, I surrender all to you. I want you, Lord, to be my Savior. I want you, Lord, to be my Lord. Satan will always tell you, you know, you're not worthy. You're a sinner. You're useless. You're a failure. You can't. You don't have the ability. That's the way Satan will always tell us, my friend. But the writer of the Psalm says, enter his gates, whatever gate it might be. The Lord says, come. Times of God, Satan robs the joy away from us, oh Father. But the world robs the joy away from us. But Lord, we pray that we'll be like this. The psalm that we just read, oh God, that we can even shout for joy before you can even answer our prayers, oh God. Because God does what is needed in our lives. Your plan's always the best, Father. Lord, help us to serve with gladness, oh Father. It's a joy to serve you. It might be the smallest ministry in our eyes, oh God, but it's the greatest in the sight of God. Help us, oh Lord, to know you. Because when we have know you, confidence. When we know you, Lord, we are not afraid. Nothing can separate us.